Hello and welcome to another edition of CFTV Live. Today's episode of CFTV Live is brought to you by our friends at AgriGold. We wouldn't be able to do this show without them. They help us out of here a ton at Cycling Fanatic, just like they help out our farmers here in the state of Iowa. CFTV Live brought to you by AgriGold.
We got to be mostly through planting, I would think.
Yeah, I would think most people are probably getting pretty close to done.
I don't know much about farming, but I would think the snow through April probably didn't do a great thing for like setting up the schedule for it, but I'm sure AgriGold plants are probably.
Yeah, I would imagine that's probably true.
Probably pretty healthy still.
It's been a long time, Jeff.
It has been a long time.
It's been so long since we had a show that we are going to talk about the NFL draft today.
Right. Well, that really was only 2 weeks ago. It just seems like it was way farther than that.
There's so many things now that happen during the day, or at least that you hear about happening, like on Twitter and stuff like that.
I don't have Twitter anymore.
Yeah, no, you don't have Twitter.
That one anymore. Would hear theoretically about on the Twitter.
Chris came in here one day and his back was really messed up. He was laying on the floor.
Now
he told me to tweet a picture at you because it was your fault.
Now, that's a bald-faced lie. Chris hasn't been in since he fell down the stairs and hurt his back. So if he's going to blame that on somebody, he's blaming that on Chris and not falsely putting that problem on us.
See, this is a change in the story.
He fell down the stairs. And to make the story sound cooler, he said he got injured working out. He has not been in since falling down the stairs. So let me set the story straight. It is not my fault. I would have not allowed Chris to do something which would hurt his back in such a manner, such as falling down the stairs. So I would like to not take any blame. Now, I believe he's actually been in one time. It was a morning that I wasn't there, and we did some type of hamstring activity, which he said bothered his hamstring. That I'll take is doing a hamstring activity, pushed a little bit too hard. I'll take that. But he fell down the stairs.
Man, you're coming right in firing shots at our boss.
You want me to Bruce Buffer this mic and we can start?
Man, that changes everything.
Yeah, it's not my fault.
He told me you weren't there. I mean,
I will accept responsibility for things that are my fault.
He said you weren't there, so I think
I wasn't there. Yeah. No, I wasn't there. I believe my partner Sean was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was, again, hamstring problem, not back problem.
Wow. Yeah. This is a
life-changing.
A life-changing revelation.
Life-changing.
Yeah. All right, so
To be fair, he was also playing with his daughter, and it was like a couple stairs. It wasn't that
okay.
bad. Chris kind of milks it a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. He like falls down all the stairs in his house. It's like out of a
cartoon.
Movie. Yeah.
He actually then bounces off the bottom stair to go back halfway up the stairs to fall down another one. It's like an exercise ball that's the bottom of the stairs.
I don't really know what more there is to be said about this year's draft, just because it's been kind of talked through.
It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, Alan and Joel are going through mini camps
mm-hmm.
right now.
I think the couple things that I would say are, I think Alan's in a really good spot. I think it took the wrong path to get there, but I think the way that Jacksonville runs their offense is a run first, run second, throw third type offense, and that's for the personnel they have. I mean, they took another defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a pick your strengths. I mean, win in the front. That's why they beat Pittsburgh, is because their lines were better, both sides. Granted, it was a different type of game than we expected in the playoffs, but I think because of that, Allen's greatest skill set that will translate is the fact, and we highlighted 100 times here, is that he just kicks dudes' asses when he blocks. And so being in a system like that versus being in like New Orleans, where in New Orleans he could do fine because he can go up and get the ball, but that would require him being like super precise route runner, have separating speed, and then have dominant hands that he's going to catch everything. And those are good attributes, and that's why he's in an NFL camp. I'm not saying those aren't good, but when you compare him to all the other NFL wide receivers, then you got to have something that you're really good at. What he's really good at objectively is blocking. And so being in an offense like Jacksonville that is predicated off the run, and then when there is a non-run option, it becomes a pass, it's likely going to be set up off play action, which is going to allow a little bit more separation to let him body up a corner rather than him having to run, you know, if he's in, let's say, because Cleveland just took Baker Mayfield, which I love Baker Mayfield. They need freaking offensive linemen. They got to protect my dude Baker. But if he were to be in that system, Baker Mayfield is not that quarterback. They cannot run Jacksonville's offense. One, they don't have the horses. They don't have Leonard Fournette back there. But they also aren't like their strengths now are wide receiver, and you can't say Baker Mayfield's a quarterback, but because of his attitude, you can say he's more of a gunslinger, more of a thrower, less of a run, like a true running quarterback set. So if Allen were to be in that offense, I think it would be a bad fit. It wouldn't work out well. But it'd be like Shaquille O'Neal playing for the Warriors. Like, not that he's not a very good player, but if you put Shaq on the Warriors, granted, Steve Kerr would probably find a way to make it work, but the flow of that offense requires that everybody does everything. And Shaq doesn't pass exceptionally well, and he doesn't shoot at all. And so that would be a bad fit. And so sort of like in the NFL, where he is in a good fit position. So I think him and his agent probably had multiple offers, I would think, to field from. And I think they made a good decision with being in Jacksonville, setting up, like I said, his skill set lines up really well with that offense.
So what about Joel then?
Joel, I think, is a really interesting fit, because I would presume that he plays an interior linebacker, but him playing Mike is probably not going to happen, because he's a big dude, but like Mike linebackers in the NFL are like, it's like a horse in shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And so I think he's going to play an interior linebacker. So whether it's a three, because the Cowboys, they mix up their fronts a lot. So one of the interior positions. And I think his biggest problem that he'll face, because athletically and toughness-wise, he will fit in 100%. He's a great worker. He's super strong, super tough, sharp. But his problem is going to be in towards the end of the year, he got pretty good at it, but it took him a whole season to learn how to play linebacker. Does he recall enough basic, not fundamentals, because there's fundamentals of tackling and running and stance, like those base fundamentals. But then the next tier up from that is like recognition of plays, recognition of pullers, recognition of stances. And like when, you know, I think we talked, the thing that he was worst at was fitting like zone fits. So like guard goes this way, tackle goes this way, you got to fit right here. Moving with that, he was bad at, because you'd never seen it before. Mm-hmm. Like against Iowa, he had a terrible game against Iowa, because that's all they do. And so like when little things like that come, because NFL offenses, they can do anything they want, and the guards are all, like all the offensive linemen are all super good.
Right.
So his change is now he won't be able to think then respond. Is he going to be able to react? So like the mental part of it and the instinctual part is he going to be able to pick that up? And if they can trust that, so like I don't think he's going to be a finished product right away. I think he's going to be able, if he does make an active roster, it's going to be on special teams, and if he plays it down at linebacker, color me shocked. But if he can make an active roster and be a quote linebacker that is just there to play special teams, it's because one, he's got again natural ability to do that. But two is they've seen enough improvement from him from the time he walked in the doors in Arlington to like he started out at a C-minus linebacker, and then he's moved himself to a B-minus linebacker. He's not an A yet. He's not playing, but he's moved really far. They've seen him grow, and they go, okay, this is a guy that we need to keep around because he's going to be really good and he can eventually become a linebacker. So I think that the expectations for us as fans should be different with Joel and Allen. I think Allen, if he works hard enough, would probably have a chance. I mean, because he's big, he can be on teams like punt and kickoff cover and stuff like that. He should be able to do that. But I think if you... And he also might be able to play wide receiver and cycle in there in certain situations, like anytime, like just being able to block, like in the open field. And then once you get in the red zone, he can, you know, go up and get the ball. We've seen that. But I don't think with Joel, we should expect, even the most ardent fans, I don't think we should expect to see Joel play any type of linebacker. If he does, that's a huge shock. But I do think we could expect him to do some type of special teams.
So with some of these other guys that have made it into camps, I mean, Marchand and Jake Campos are both with the Cowboys. I think McEnroe Alexander was maybe with the
Redskins.
Mm-hmm. How do you see some of those guys faring, I guess?
You want the honest answer or you want the happy answer?
Yeah, I want the honest answer.
I don't really see a whole lot of sticking capacity
Okay.
From those other guys. And maybe Campos can.
I was going to say, I felt like if any of those guys had a good chance, it'd be Marchie.
I was going to say, maybe Campos can, maybe Marchie can, especially because the Cowboys are going to be hurting at wide receiver. They don't have many, mm-hmm. and so they're going to need depth. But the problem is he doesn't have a lot of film. Like, he does, I mean, as a sophomore at Illinois, right? And then he came over and transferred a year and then came over here and has had a decent back half of the season. But he doesn't have a lot of film. And so, like, they're going to have to take him at face value what he does in camp. And so he's got to ball out at camp. And even still, balling out at camp, like, think of, like, an E.J. Bibbs, for example. Like, if you read anything about when he was with the Browns, I think it was 2 years ago. He was with the Browns 2 years ago. Every single person that watched a practice said E.J. Bibbs killed it. And where did he end up? Practice squad.
Yeah.
So, like, the standard is really hard to reach. And I'm not saying that he can't do it. I'm just saying the expectation, looking from the outside in, is that of the guys that are probably going to make it, those two probably have a decent shot. Campos, again, he's got injury problems in the past. It's a bad ankle, but it's a broken ankle, which is probably better than like a soft tissue something. But either way, he's going to have to prove that he can do it. And so is Marchie. And, I mean, obviously everybody else can. But there really has only been one successful season at Iowa State with those guys there. So they're, regardless, there's not a whole lot of film on them. And so, you know, a guy that's been playing at, let's take a, even not a huge name program, but like Utah. Like, Utah's been good. They haven't been great since, like, I mean, Urban Meyer was there, and
then Kyle Whittingham.
And those guys eventually, like, they went to a couple BCS games, but they've been good forever. And so even if they're like, all things held equal, like a team like Utah, that guy, I know that that guy knows how to win. I know that that guy knows what success looks like. Whereas Iowa State, prior to this past year, terrible. Like, since my senior year, there's what, for a four or five year stretch that Iowa State won like 9 games in 4 years. Like, that does not scream, I want that guy on my team. But this past season, they're starting, like, they're probably going to get a little bit more benefit of the doubt. So, I don't know. The guys outside of Joel and Allen are going to have to do a lot in a camp to stay.
Are you at all surprised that we haven't seen Kamari Cotton-Moya's name too much?
Yes and no. From a play standpoint, he's very good. From an, again, looking objectively, like if Kamari Cotton-Moya was not at Iowa State, if he was, let's say, he played for Kansas, and same player. If you looked at that guy and you saw like the off-field stuff that he had, and he's a really good player, then you also hear he almost wanted to quit twice in college. Is that a guy you're willing to going to take a chance on?
Right.
And so I think there has to be two parts to that. Like, he has to really want to do it, and then the other thing is a team has to really want him. And so I'm not really that shocked, even though he is a really good player. It just kind of comes down to like a personality thing. It's like, does he want to do it, and do they want to take a risk on him?
That interview he did when he said he thought about quitting twice probably wasn't
not
a great career move.
Yeah, that's not a great like selling point.
Yeah.
Of getting a job in that field.
Right.
I wanted to drop out of medical school. Every single day. Got to residency, wanted to drop out every single day. Can I be your doctor? No.
Oh,
no,
man.
You can't.
Yeah.
I appreciate your honesty, but no.
All right. We're going to talk about some guys for next year. Sound good?
Yes. You could have waited an extra 3 seconds. You saw the Gatorade bottle going to my mouth, yet you still asked a short question.
We'll be right back on CFTV Live, presented by Agricold.
Jared.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck. It was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, you know, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to CFTV Live presented by Agrigold.
What's up?
Finished your drink?
Yeah, I did.
Now we won't have that problem again.
That's what you think.
All right, so next year, David Montgomery is already being projected as a first-round pick. Should we get our hopes up?
I don't know. I mean, so the thing is like projecting super far out is kind of hard.
Yeah.
But
so you're saying I should not put too much stock in the 2021 NFL mock drafts?
I probably not.
Okay.
Let's leave the high school kids in high school. No, but I think if anybody is going to have a chance to do well as a draft pick, it's going to be somebody like Dave Montgomery. And so I think Hakeem Butler will probably end up getting drafted, one would think, again, health and productivity.
We thought the same thing about Allen.
Right.
But yeah.
Health and productivity continued. But I don't think he's going to be like a leave early guy. If Montgomery has a really good year and he is getting – like he has the year that he had last year, his body type and skill set does go to the NFL. Like he's not a guy like Bryce Love, who decided to come back to Stanford, is an explosive player, but he's little. And so you're going to have to find a place for a little guy in an offense. You have to create a position for him where Dave Montgomery's like, all right, you're a tailback, son, go. And so I think that's what NFL teams would really like, is that he can do that. And then I think, you know, you have some like wild card guys like Ray Lima. Like if Ray Lima has another really productive year, he's obviously I don't think he's a first round draft pick, but he's pretty damn good, and so you'd think that he would have a shot of getting drafted. And a guy like Brian Peavy's
he's only
going
to be a junior too, so yeah.
So, but I mean, still, like if he has a really,
if
they're eligible, so like if he has a really good year, he would have a shot to be drafted. So there are certain guys that would be kind of in that conversation, but the majority of the guys are going to be juniors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Hakeem, like Montgomery, like Lima, like any one of the offensive linemen. Those guys are most likely going to be like the next year. But still, if Dave Montgomery has another year, I think better than he does last year, because we talked about this before, is that he played running back like a quarterback last year and just let his physical talent take over. And if he can understand how to play the position a little bit better and also let that physical talent take over, you're going to have a seriously special season.
What about someone like Willie Harvey?
I think Willie Harvey falls in the sort of the Joel Landon camp, is that linebackers, he's a little small for a linebacker. I think that's not quite the Joel camp. He's a little small, but I think he would have to have a massively productive season. Like the guy that sort of he would have to emulate or sort of become, you know, his name rings a bell at all, is Arthur Brown from Kansas State. He was, I think, the defensive player of the year my junior year. He's number four, by the way. But he's smaller. He's like 220, which for a human is a large human. But for a linebacker is a small linebacker. And so he's like 220, just very smart, and had like 30 more tackles than the second place guy in the conference. Like just absurd numbers. And he was a second round draft pick. Second or third, I think. And so that guy, who is the defensive player of the year, first team All-American, second round draft pick. And so like that super high level would be something that Willie Harvey would have to shoot for, is being absurdly, unignorably productive.
Is there anybody that you would look at and it's like they could be like a dark horse? Like somebody I think of is maybe like DeAndre Payne. He's a little small, but he kind of gets forgotten because he's across from PV to an extent.
Well, I think the dark horses are ones that you, I mean, obviously you can't tell. And yeah. So like right now, I think that it's – the guys that would potentially be able to do that would be, say, someone with like serious physical tools that somehow decides to put, or somehow puts it together. Like, this guy's obviously not draft eligible, but someone like Eni Wazirike, who has physical tools.
He would be draft eligible, actually.
Well,
because he'd be a redshirt sophomore.
True, but I mean, so he would be draft eligible. I don't think he would, because he's still really, really raw.
Yeah.
But someone like that. And so, if he, like, just stupid, the David Irving type, where the physical tools greatly outseed their production, and then somebody goes, all right, I want those tools and I want to build in that. So somebody like a Wazirike, where they just have just this freak physique about them and athletic ability, and then someone tries to take a chance on them.
Did you see David Irving, your former teammate, signed a new contract yesterday?
I did not.
Yeah, I think it's a one-year deal. I didn't see what the money was, but
probably
I imagine it was a good, good
probably
money.
A lot.
He was like the NFC Defensive Player of the Week, like twice.
Like two or three times, and he only takes like 20% of the snaps a game.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, you play three technique and go beat the hell out of a guard.
When you were in practice, was there a moment when it was like, damn, this guy's really good?
Well,
I remember even like at the end of that year, he kind of started turning it on.
He just didn't know how to work.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't know how to translate his body. He was like a 10-month-old Labrador, where you could just, the athletic tools were there, but he just didn't know how to translate them into anything. But like, there were multiple times when like he would deflect a pass, like he's getting just hammered, and you go like this and reach his go-go gadget arm and just like palm and just swat the ball down, and you're like, well, shit, there goes that.
Yeah.
Can't have any fun anymore. Or there would be he wasn't very like, this is, again, like, he was like a sophomore when I was, because I think he was 2 years younger than me, one or two, maybe. But he was a pup still. So he wasn't quite as physical, and he'd only played defensive line for, I think, 2 years, and that was in high school. And so he's still catching on how to do it in college. So I'm not saying that he isn't now, but he wasn't. But he wasn't that physical, and he didn't know how to lock somebody out. When he did, it was crazy. But he didn't know how to lock somebody out well. But one thing that he would do is, like, you'd be running and, like, all right, there's an opening. And then all of a sudden you just see this arm come out and, like, wrap all the way around your shoulder. And you're like, I feel like I'm getting strangled by an octopus right now. I cannot leave, because it's like giving me a full body hug with one arm because of that. I mean, 6'9", and his arms are longer than 6'9".
Unfortunately, he did not learn early enough that being 6'9 is not conducive to carrying stop signs around in large crowds.
I was going to say, being a 6'9 black dude in Ames, Iowa, there's that sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really hide anywhere, especially when you're holding a stop sign.
Well, this has been CFTV Live presented by AgriGold. Thanks, Jeff.
Cheers.
See you next week. See you guys.